You're listening to KFSK in Petersburg for the local news department. I'm Joe Vicnicki, and this is a new call-in show we're starting up. It's called the Borough Report, and it's a monthly check-in with the Borough Department to talk about what's going on in those areas. This is an idea from, I think, that came first out of the Borough Assembly, or you, Steve Giesbrecht, the borough manager. This came about, the hoping for a monthly call-in, check-in kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, so it came from a couple of different folks that had thought it might be a good idea, and then I suggested, hey, let's rotate it among the various department heads and myself, and maybe get more information out to people and give people a chance to ask questions about how we do business.
All right. So this is our first one. We're testing it out. And give us a call and ask your question. We have in the studio, as well as Steve Giesbrecht, the borough manager, the borough's utility director, Carl Hagerman, to answer your questions. And we're going to focus on the electric utility as well as water and sewer, which are Carl's purviews operations. So let's dive in, and hopefully we'll get some phone calls and have people ask some questions to find out what's going on, what's the burning topic on their mind. I guess, Carl, I'll ask the first ones. We always are looking for the latest status update on the hydroelectric reservoirs. And I know we've got more rain in the forecast this weekend. So are things filling up?
We finally do have some rain in the forecast, which is a good thing. It's really hard to grumble about the good weather, but it's definitely had an impact on us this last year. So as far as the lake levels today, Tyee Lake continues to come up at about a foot a day right now. Last week, we were seeing about a foot and a half a day. That slowed down slightly, but the lake is rising rapidly. We're, I think this morning, they were 1,287 feet. At the low point this last winter, we were down to 1,258. So we've gained quite a bit of level.
Still a ways to go, though.
Still a ways to go. Okay. That lake spills at just below 1,400 feet, so we're still pretty low. But it is looking much better, much better. Swan Lake down in Ketchikan is still pretty low. They're at 294 about, and drafting low every day. They're dropping an inch or two every day. Ketchikan is still running support diesel down there, but they are able to get some power from the hydro projects as well. And locally, our Crystal Lake reservoir is kind of leveled off. We didn't have a tremendous amount of snowpack up there. I think with what we're seeing in the level of the lake, it's probably gone, and it kind of leveled out this week. It's starting to drop, but very, very slowly. So we made it about 12.2 feet over the intake of the dam, and it spills at 20 feet over the intake. So we're doing okay, but not generating as much as we would like to.
Okay, so we are completely on hydro here in Petersburg and Wrangell, right?
We are, yes. Okay. Yep, Wrangell as well.
I guess it all depends on the rain this summer, but is there more chance for diesel runs later this year?
Well, yeah, rain would definitely help to answer that question and say absolutely not. But unless we see it coming out of the sky, the forecast is not that great for the next couple months. It's supposed to be warmer and drier than normal. So we'll have to see. But one thing that that SEPA is doing this year that's a little bit different is right now the intertie between Swan and Tyee Lake is open. There's no power transfer going north or south right now. The north and south ends are pretty much operating on their own lakes. And they've got a revised operations plan that's in front of their board right now that puts a finer point on when they would be able to sell power to Ketchikan from Tyee Lake. And essentially that strategy is to stick with a guide curve that is based on production from the lake, power production from the lake, and precipitation levels of last year, which was 30% lower than normal. And so they're taking a very conservative approach to power production out of Tyee. They will only, this is a proposed operations plan, they would only sell power to Ketchikan if the lake got 10 feet above that guide curve or higher. and then they would sell power to Ketchikan until they got down to the guide curve, and then they would stop, curtail sales to the south. And so the lake could vacillate up and down in that operational band, that sales band, they're calling it. And what it does, it preserves a certain amount of water for Wrangell and Petersburg to ensure that when we do hit the colder months this coming winter, that we have adequate water to make it through without having to run diesel.
Okay. Yeah, because you're filling up slightly, but you have to think long term, like you were mentioning, the winter time. So this is the time of year when it normally gets to totally full, spilling.
Yeah,
it's going to.
It shoots up dramatically in the springtime and then in the fall. So we usually get a leveling out in July after the snow melt is done. And then we rely on precipitation to fill it up the rest of the way. Hopefully by the time November, December rolls around, we're at our highest level, and then we can draft down when there's really no inflows coming into the lake. We can draft it down and still have plenty of water by springtime.
Okay. So these projects we're talking about, owned by the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, a joint consortium of Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. There's a power sales agreement in place that talks about how that electricity is sold to the communities. Is there differences of interpretation about that agreement and the dedication of the power from Tyee to the northern communities, the power from Swan to Ketchikan? It seemed I had always assumed it was fairly clear that the Tyee power was first dedicated to the northern communities.
That is actually very clear, and I don't think there's any discrepancy among the communities that Swan is. Swan Lake is dedicated to Ketchikan, and Tyee is dedicated to Petersburg and Wrangell together. Mm-hmm. What happened last year is that the forecast, the precipitation that we saw, like I mentioned, it was 30% below normal, and we just didn't believe that that could continue into the fall. You know, there was a strong belief at SEPA that the rain would come like it always does, and when it didn't, we had a problem because they perceived that there was surplus power in Tyee based on that rainfall that was going to show up that never did. So they curtailed sales to the south in September. Of course, if they had known, you know, what the rainfall total for the year would have been earlier on, they would have curtailed much sooner, and we probably wouldn't have run diesel. But managing the power production out of those lakes is a very large input to that is the weather forecasting and the normal precipitation that we see. And unfortunately, the forecasters got it wrong, and the sales to Ketchikan probably weren't curtailed soon enough. That's what SEPA is trying to fix this year with their revised operations plan.
Okay. So I guess Petersburg did run diesels for around a month earlier this year. Is that reimbursement coming from SEPA to pay for the cost of that?
Yes, yes. I just checked with Trey Acteson, the CEO of SEPA, and it is on the agenda for the next regular meeting, which is in June 19th to 20th in Wrangell. And it's on the agenda. They had it on a previous agenda, and they had to table it for a short while because they just weren't sure how to correctly book it, you know, in their accounting system, these payments to the communities. And so they needed to talk to their auditor and get some advice there. But there was always a commitment to follow through with the desire of the board to reimburse Petersburg and Wrangell for fuel and overtime. And Trey has told me that that will happen, that will be on the agenda, and should happen at the next meeting with reimbursement checks to follow immediately.
Okay. All right. Steve, jump in here on any of these things if you feel like it.
I will. Thank you.
we're just going to jump from one topic to next, but stay on electrical issues. We've been focusing kind of on more on the wholesale end, and SEPA is the wholesale power provider selling to these utilities and the communities. then the utilities turn around and have to sell it to the customers. So that's along the lines of my next question is there's going to be a rate study going on this year for the local utility about whether Petersburg Municipal Power and Light is charging the right amount for its electricity. And when, Carl, can you update us about when that happens and what it looks at and that kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah, it's always a good idea of any utility to have a rate study done every once in a while, just to make sure that we're keeping up with inflation and expenses are covered. Addition to that, however, right now is we have a pretty robust capital improvement plan that I would like to follow through with on the next few years. And of course, when you start talking about large projects such as the Blind Slough Hydro refurbishment project that's estimated to be a total of $7.3 million, you start talking about one of those projects that could impact rates. When there you talk about a couple of projects that are upwards of $1 million or more over the next 5 years, and you have to consider how that might impact the rates. And so I'll be developing a request for proposals, an RFP, to go out to consulting firm that we have used in the past in the electric department, as well as another firm that has done rate studies for the other utilities in the borough. And we'll get hopefully some favorable responses from those firms to award a contract for a rate study as soon as possible in July, so they can start working through some numbers and letting us know exactly where we're going to be. They take into account past revenues, trending as far as customer levels, usage on an annual basis. In Power and Light's case, it's what we produce out of Blind Slough, what we buy from SEPA. That all goes into the mix to come out with, and of course, what projects and expenses we have on an annual basis to cover, including potential debt service. Throw that into the mix and come up with a revenue requirement every year. And then we look at our current rates to see if we can meet that revenue requirement. And if we can't, then that's when the rate increases start to be designed and looked at, as far as one large increase at first or several steps over time, depending on if you're blending in capital projects or not. It's a quite involved process.
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add and you know, pat Carl and the assembly for that matter on the back. One of the things what Carl's talking about is planning. And you know, the people who lived in Petersburg 50 years ago when they built the Blind Slough Hydro, you know, took a big leap of faith.
Nearly 100.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. And you know, built that very expensive at the time and made decisions that, you know, would have at the time looked very expensive. And then we've enjoyed that very much here in Petersburg with very low power costs compared to the rest of Alaska because of, in some cases, that project. In a sense, that's what we're doing now. We're having to look at some of these projects and saying, how's this going to benefit, you know, grandkids and great-grandkids in Petersburg, so that we keep that low-cost power and that it's available. So it's these long-term, very, unfortunately, very expensive projects that takes a lot of planning. And the rate study, I would say, the biggest component of that is going to be these capital projects and our existing fund balance and making sure that we've got the money to do our future descendants well by having these projects in good shape and continuing to be able to, you know, sell less than, you know, expensive power to the people here in Petersburg. And it becomes an economic development thing for us that, hey, if we can commit to having power rates that are not going to be massively high like in many parts of Alaska, you know, it makes it us much more attractive to businesses and people who want to live here. So, just a thanks and pat on the back to the assembly and Carl for the pre-planning work that goes into this, because it's not a short-term thing. This is really a long-term viewpoint on how we pay for things here in the electric department.
And I want to touch briefly on some of those big projects too. You mentioned the Blind Slough project and hiring of a consultant to do some engineering work on that. $7.3 million possible on the cost on that. What other big projects is the electric utility looking at?
Well, you know, we've got a couple ongoing right now that necessarily aren't big, but I'd like to mention one of them is the Advanced Metering Infrastructure, AMI, project that we have going into the harbor later this year. It allows us to, it's basically a remote reading and connect-disconnect metering system for the electric down in the North Harbor to start with. And that project is, my staff is really looking forward to that. In the summertime, we work with the Harbor Department daily on boats coming in and out of moorage and connecting and disconnecting. And it's a lot of work to back a meter down there just to get a read from the old meter. If you have to pull one and reinstall it later, that's more time. This system will allow us to get remote reads. It'll help speed up the process of the meter reading in the harbor. Also allow us to connect and disconnect those meters on the fly, really, you know, from the office. And it's going to be a huge time saver in the summertime. That project is, we're working on a contract with the vendor. Selected vendor is Eaton. That contract, or the total expense for Eaton, as well as some other software integration from our IT company, PCS, it'd be about $122,000 to make that happen. And then we'll be able to build on that. Like I said, this phase of the project is pretty much the North Harbor. In the future fiscal years, we'll look to expand that into the Middle and South Harbors, and then out into the community at large, in separate different neighborhoods. This is the way that the industry is going.
These are called smart meters down south, I think, elsewhere. Yep. And they use radio frequencies for reading, for the connection.
Yep. Every meter has a little radio module in it, and it communicates with a master collector. In this case, we'll be on the roof of the municipal building, and we'll be able to get those readings every month, as well as spot readings. You can pull the meter if a customer has a question. You can connect to the meter and find out exactly what's going on, get a trend of, you know, power usage and voltage, and it'll tell you, it'll send messages if there's an outage. Communication aspect of it, and knowing what's out there in the distribution system of our for electrical is fantastic. And so it's going to be really nice to be able to build on this work in the harbors into the rest of the community.
Okay, so that's one project.
One project.
And while you're looking through your notes, I think the idea is to do revenue bonds for at least the big project for Blind Slough and possibly some of these others, or which would mean no vote of the public, but it would be repaid with revenue from the electric utility, right?
Yes, I am focusing on that more than other funding sources right now, although I'm still got feelers out there trying to find the best, the blend of funding to get this project done. A bond seems to be the most straightforward. It would be repaid from revenues of the electric department only. No taxes would go into that repayment. But that has yet to be, you know, finalized.
Sure, okay. And the electric utility has a little bit over $7.6 million, I think, in reserve at the moment. But you don't want to spend that all down.
No. That's the, like Steve said, planning is a big key to that. We have a substantial reserve in the department, but we need to leverage that over a long period of time to get these projects done that need to get done without it being a too much of a burden for ratepayers. That's one of the primary goals with planning these out and trying to come up with the best answer and not be a burden on the ratepayers and more than we have to be.
Okay.
Some other projects that are coming up in the electric department. We've got a small project to build a storage shed out at the new pole yard out at Scow Bay, estimated to be about $50,000. As soon as we get some covered storage out there for some of our supplies, we should be able to move some materials out of the old pole yard that's still on 14th Street and consolidate our materials out there. Hopefully get that done this next year. We have an in-house project. I'm hoping to do this in-house for $70,000 to reroute the feed from the Main Street substation into the system so we can eliminate the overhead across Hammer Slough. We've got one pole that's on the south side of the slough that's starting to get punky, and to replace it is pretty precarious. And so we started looking at, okay, what could we do to just eliminate that? And so we have a plan. Hopefully we'll be able to do that in-house this year. We still have some 2400 volt primary power up at the airport. And so I'm proposing an in-house project to in a couple phases to eliminate that and take the 24.9 kilovolt primary up through the end of the system up at the airport. And that'll take a couple years to get done, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. And then a smaller project, we've got our Main Street substation transformer is a specialized transformer, has three different voltage coming into it, and we need it to support the town with our diesel plant. So if it's a very important piece to our system. If it goes down or is damaged, then we can't use our diesel plant. And so it is aging, and there's some recognition that we do need to replace it at some point, but it's a large dollar item. So this year we're just going to take some steps to, because of the other large cost projects that we have going on, we're going to take some steps to protect it a little bit better, increase the height of the fence around it, and put some privacy slats in it. It's hard to believe that some kids or people will try and throw things in that containment area, I guess, to see what happens. They don't really want to see what happens if they make a connection across that, the couple of the bus bars on that. It'll be dramatic and extremely hazardous. Definitely could kill somebody if they were ever to do that. So we're going to try to protect that a little bit better. If anybody is listening, please, if you see a kid around that fence at the substation in the back of the power plant, shoo them away, tell them to go do something else, walk the beach or whatever. Just stay away from that facility.
Okay, bad place to play. All right. So how about the generators? Did they perform well in this extended run this year? Are they enough to keep the town on in power? Assuming that maybe this is the new normal and we might have more years in the future like this where we have to have longer runs?
They performed well. We're starting to have, at the end of that month-long run, we were starting to see some failures. We had some of our smaller generators that went down with a water pump leak, and one had an issue with an oil pump. It was a good thing that we were able to come off when we did. There was really no danger. We could cover the loads that we were seeing. The more you run those, the more chance there is of something breaking, and we were just starting to see that. As far as covering our loads in the wintertime, we're right on the edge, really. It depends on a lot on how much power we can get out of the Blind Slough project. And as long as we can get some power out of Crystal Lake, then we're okay. But we're pretty close to being at a point where if things go wrong, if we have a really cold spell, and we have a generator that goes down for any reason, we could be hurting for available power. And of course, that's considering Tyee is not available or diminished in capacity because of water levels over there. So if Tyee is if we retain enough water in the lake in Tyee and we can use it as normal in the wintertime, we'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Wanted to get to the other departments too, but just real briefly, I know you also have a pretty regular program of tree clearing around the lines around town, but that's looking a little bit different in how you do that this year? Or?
Well, we are trying to take a little more aggressive approach, and I know it hasn't been appreciated by everybody, but it is it's an annual chore that the crew goes and pretty much touches the same trees year after year to try and clear them from the lines. So in the Severson subdivision this year, we took a little more aggressive stance, and wherever we could, we tried to take trees all the way to the ground and remove them to just save us time in the future. And there, it is a safety issue. With the amount of rain that we normally get here and everything's wet, if those trees get up in the line and they start burning, it takes a windstorm to make a good connection, and a ground fault goes right to the bottom of the tree. If somebody's standing there, it could definitely hurt them or kill them. And so it's not a good situation to have large trees next to power lines. And we wanted to address that. So we're a little more aggressive, and I definitely got some phone calls, and I appreciate the feedback that I did get. I am planning on working on some ordinance language to codify, you know, the need to clear lines on an annual basis, and also an internal policy to so that the public knows what the department will be doing to notify them if a tree is marked for removal, and give them a little more input and advanced warning that something like that's going to happen.
Okay. All right. How about water and sewer? What's going on in those? I know you have some big projects, sewer department, Scow Bay area, and a couple others.
We do, yeah. The wastewater department is, we're continuing to work through several of our pump stations that are aging and need work. So that a bigger project that we've been working through for a couple of years now, trying to figure out the best way to go, would be it's the Scow Bay 1 pump station, which is just past Levy Straits. And we're going to replace that pump station with a different type of station, different type pumps with a little more capacity in our wet well. What we saw just through the expansion of the collection system over time, the flow that goes into that particular area is depending on rainfall. We get a lot of stormwater into the system. And under heavy rains, it was overwhelming that station completely. And so to address that, we're upgrading that station to provide more flow along the line. And that project actually should be bidding by the end of this week, next week, and hopefully we'll have a bid opening in I think it's the first week of July, July 2nd. And so it'll be great to get going on that project. It's anticipated that a contract will have will break ground in the summer and be substantially complete by November with that project.
Service will continue though, right?
Yes. Yep. There are provisions in the contract to maintain the pump capacity. Basically, we'll have the old station in service until the new station is installed, and then we'll just switch over in a day, and the new one will take over from there. So that is that's coming up. We also have a gravity sewer project on Casino Street. That replaces about 1,000 feet of sewer pipe that is not deep enough in some places. It just wasn't put in the right spot to serve some houses. Houses up by 6th and 7th Street have had continual problems with slow drains or plugs, and so this will address that, and replaces about 4 manholes and a lot of sewer pipe. We're moving the pipe and from the ditch line into the road, so we'll get some road improvements from that. Just that whole road is floating on Muskeg, and so this work will, at least in the sewer trench line, be down to Hardpan and provide a little more support for the road over time.
So there'll be some road closures there, Scow Bay as well, too, for that project? Or? Well,
the Scow Bay project is right on the highway, okay. And so there could be some traffic control issues out there. when they have, they have to make a fairly large hole for the new pump station, and so that will impact the highway somewhat. So people should keep their eye out for construction this summer.
Okay. All right. Those are the big ones in the
Sewer department? Yeah, in the sewer department. On the water department side, we've got a couple smaller projects that Public Works is going to help us out. We have a pig launcher project.
Let's just explain what we're talking about with that, too, because it sounds funny.
It does sound
funny. We're not launching pigs in the normal sense.
No, not the four-legged kind. The Cabin Creek pipeline, we're required to basically clean them on an annual basis, clean the line, and what we use is it's a big swab that we call a pig, and it gets put in the line, and then the water pressure carries it through and scrubs the growth off the inside of the pipe. And the existing way we do that is we have a flanged end that we have to dig down to every time, uncover it, and take off about 20 inch and a quarter bolts, and it's very taxing on staff, not convenient at all. And then to get the pig into the line, we have to use a board, and the guys have to get down in this ditch, and it's not very safe for them to do that. So this project will be to install a series of fittings that bring that that effort above the ground, and it'll be much easier to access and much easier for staff to get the pig into the line, because we'll be able to use a machine to help us push it in. And so that will allow us to do it more frequently and ensure that the line is clean and we're getting the flow that that we need.
Right. This is important because a couple years back, 5-10 years back, that was really starting to decrease in that line out from Cabin Creek, right?
It was. We had a growth appear on the inside of that pipe that changed the hydraulics of everything, and it actually created a vacuum in some of the portions of the pipe that collapsed it. And so we installed some different types of vacuum relief valves, but the big maintenance item for that pipeline to make sure that it is protected is to clean it every once in a while, and it works well.
So drinking water wise, the town still doing okay with its two reservoirs?
We are. Yep. It's somewhat was a surprise to me when I found out how much water we use for power production as opposed to potable water production, drinking water production. Our reservoirs at Cabin Creek and City Creek have remained essentially full throughout this whole drought situation with the hydropower lakes, and we're in good shape there. They were full this spring, and we'll be drawing them down, you know, this summer. If the drought continues, you know, we could see some effects of that, but that's why we built Cabin Creek, you know, after the 95 drought that emptied City Creek Reservoir, to have five times the amount of capacity in Cabin Creek. It really helps us out in that. And so on the drinking water side, we're doing fine.
Okay. Steve, anything to add on any of these departments?
No, I mean, things going well. These are all big infrastructure departments, meaning you've got to identify the issues long in advance and then plan for it. And I think we're doing a really good job of that. Staying ahead of it before it becomes a problem as much as possible. So,
is the new setup working well? I mean, Carl's the new utility director ahead of these three departments, separate from Public Works and his old duties. Steve, what's your take on how that's going after a year or so here?
I think it's going really well. I mean, one of the big challenges is it kind of like I hinted at. These are big infrastructure departments that. The projects to fix things are not cheap, and they're definitely not something you can do quickly. So it takes somebody in place that can build a long-term plan. And, you know, yes, all three of those departments have something that can happen in a day-to-day basis that they have to fix. But the bigger hits are, you know, hydro plants and water lines and pump stations that take a tremendous amount of planning to not only raise the money, but then also plan the project so that we keep providing service to folks. Carl's great at that, and it's one of his largest, best strengths. And it separates out, in some sense, those heavy infrastructure, long-term planning departments from Public Works, which still has long-term planning, don't get me wrong, but is often much more day-to-day, oops, what happened? And so it allows us to really put a lot of focus on planning for these things that'll help everybody here in town and everybody else who will live here in the future.
And those water and sewer projects, I think you've taken advantage of a lot of loans from the state to get some of those things done.
Yep.
Is that loan money going to continue?
As far as I know, okay. I had that question right off the bat, you know, when things started getting tight on the state level, and DEC has reassured me that, yeah, it's a revolving loan fund that is well established and operated very well by the department, and so those funds will continue to be offered.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything important we missed?
I would just like to follow up on Steve's comments about the departments. You know, I appreciate what he said about how well it's going. I feel the same way, but I wouldn't have any success without the excellent staff in every one of those departments. Water department, wastewater department, power department, all have very, very capable and committed staff. You know, they take their jobs very seriously, and they do an excellent job all the way around. So I have to thank them for all the work that they do.
All right. Great. Well, thank you both for coming in today. And we will do this again next month, the final Thursday of the month, with a different department, and focus on them and hopefully generate some phone calls that time around. So
there we go.
Thank you both. You've been listening to the Borough Report. I'll be back with a quick look at the weather forecast and messages before Street Beat music.